Hare Krishna. I thank everyone for coming to attend this wonderful ceremony. Earlier, we welcomed into the home of Sahadev Prabhu, Sachi Ananda Prabhu, the deities of Shishi Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha. I would like to take this opportunity to express my deepest appreciation for this family. Very few people have any idea of the extent of devotional service that they have offered to Srila Prabhupada's movement and to all of us. Sahadev Prabhu and his virtuous wife, Sucharitra, have been one of the greatest examples of Krishna consciousness. They became devotees soon after Mahaprabhu. What year was that? When did he become devotee? 79. This is real friendship. Mahaprabhu, as far as I remember, there was a horrible court case going on in Juhu. Several of the leaders of the temple were charged with murder. Yes? The long story. But the president, vice president, general manager, about six or seven, were being charged for murder. Something they didn't do. And they were in prison, and in prison they were having kirtans and offering all their, they were having whole morning programs in their minds, preaching. And they called this attorney named Maheshwari to help. And in his trying to understand the case, he became a devotee. And 2 days later, he brought his best friend. And today they are Mahaprabhu and Sahadev Prabhu. Since 1978. And their families, Palika and Sahadev Prabhu's dear wife, just followed them so faithfully. Sahadev Prabhu is very humble, very quiet, very silent. Not exactly like his best friend. Humbleness is in both, but as far as silent, quiet. But this is unity and diversity in Krishna consciousness in a very special way. He loves to stay in the background, but the amount of service he's doing, trustee for hospital, trustee for temple, he's trustee for one of the trustees for practically every project we have, because everyone has 100% complete faith in his integrity, in his honesty, and in his total loyalty to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. He's always eager. He helps with the accounts. He's in charge, more or less, yes, overseeing the accounts for the temple. He's very grave, but yet always dancing ecstatically in kirtan, wonderful attachment to chanting the holy name, and incredible service attitude, always eager to serve, every way. And he's one of the most profound persons who helps make the most major decisions for all of our projects. His son, Satchidananda Prabhu, he was working for an international company, executive manager, employer of the year. He left it all to work with Keshav Prabhu, Radhagiridhari Prabhu, and Srinathji Prabhu, simply because all profits were going to Krishna. He wanted to be with devotees, and he wanted his work, not only what he made from his work, but everything that fructified from his activities, that it would go to Krishna consciousness, knowing that that is the greatest benefit to all human society. Something that you may not all know, but Sahadev Prabhu and Mahaprabhu convinced him to be a very, very dedicated, loyal, sincere devotee. Our senior most grihasthas, they take so much strength from the association wisdom of Satchidananda. When he was in college, very highly esteemed college, he preached to his classmates and friends. He made Ananda Vrindavan a devotee. He made Yudhisthira Prabhu a devotee by his preaching. And the person that was most difficult for him to convince, but after a long time he preached to, it was Satchidananda that made Devamrit Prabhu a devotee. And many others. Who else? Sri Gauranga Prabhu became a devotee by the association of Satchidananda as well. He was also hard. They are all MBA, according to Mahaprabhu. And Sahadev Prabhu's good wife, she is like the model ideal Vedic lady. Just so dedicated to just always supporting the husband, raising the children with such love and care, taking care of the home, making it an auspicious holy place. And she does a tremendous amount of service for our temple and for the mission. When it came time for Satchidananda to marry, one of the most important considerations was the devotional qualities of the girl. So they selected Anasuya Mataji, initiated devotee, very, very dedicated, coming from a family of devotees, Mr. and Mrs. Chopra, wonderful, wonderful Vaishnavas. She's an extraordinary singer, very talented artist, and such a mother. To have a son like Abhay Charan is extraordinary. It is said, like father, like son. But this statement is very difficult to understand in this case. Sahadev and Satchidananda are very, very like to be behind the scenes. They do everything, but from behind the scenes. They don't want any credit. Very soft-spoken, very gentle. And Abhay Charan, he is like transcendental dynamite in human form. He loves to be on stage, especially if he's in the center. And once he starts, it's very difficult to get him off. He has incredibly empowered memory, power to speak. And ever since he's been tiny, tiny child, now he's not as tiny. Tiny child at the children's programs, at the drama expeditions every year after Janmashtami. He's always the center attraction. But when he speaks with such dramatic enthusiasm, he keeps everyone spellbound. Yes, Abhay Charan, did you know this? He says no, but actually he knows it. And their little daughter, Aradhita, she's being trained up by Abhay Charan very systematically. Sincerely, I can say that this family is really a major part of the very heart of Radha Gopinath's temple and congregation. I owe so much to them. Srila Prabhupada, it was his dream that entire families of this quality, this caliber, and this sincerity would surrender their lives to his mission. Sahadev Prabhu's family is very much fulfilling Prabhupada's dream. After many years of marriage, living in a simple place, they recently obtained this very beautiful flat in Bombay. But all of us that came into the flat saw that who is the heart and center of everything? Shri Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha. Beautiful altar. Not just for show. Some people do nice things for the deities for show. But they're doing it according to the principles of our philosophy, that we should offer the best we possibly can and the best we have for Radha and Krishna. In India, oftentimes we see that people keep their little altar on a little shelf somewhere in a dark corner of their kitchen. but they have put their deities where whoever comes to their home, devotees, friends, relatives, business associates, they have full understanding that these people are Vaishnavas. This house belongs to Krishna. Today, upon the welcoming of their deities to their home, they invited all of us to come and participate. From our point of view, we have come for our purification, to give encouragement to such a sincere, dedicated family of devotees, and to actually seek their association. However, from their point of view, they have invited us out of their natural humility because they wanted the blessings of the Vaishnavas. They want to serve the Vaishnavas. They want to please the Vaishnavas. When the residents of Srikanda were in Jagannath Puri, they were amongst the other devotees who gathered to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's permission to leave after 4 months with him. They were all returning to their own homes in Bengal. The devotees in Puri, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Govinda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Paramananda Puri, Ramananda Bharati, Kashishwar Pandit, Kirtutapa Rudra, Gopinathacharya, many others, they would perform leelas with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the year. Every day, in the mornings, they would all gather and meet him at Jagannath's temple, have ecstatic, loving kirtans. They would bathe with him in the ocean, often take prasad with him, along with Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur. They would have Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, every day. However, all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees in Bengal, they had family responsibilities. Hundreds of miles away. In those days, there was no Jet Airways. There wasn't even Indian Airlines. There was no Indian Railways. There was no bus service. But with great enthusiasm, once a year, they would all walk together from Navadweep, after taking permission and leave from Sachi Devi, they would go to Puri. Walking took several weeks. Shivananda Sen made all arrangements. That was his service. He would earn throughout the year and use practically all of his earnings to provide food and boarding for the devotees during their long trip by foot to Puri. And Nityananda Prabhu, just to show the world the glories of Shivananda Sen, tested him. It was difficult traveling in those days because India was not the same as today. Now it's one country with basic laws. But in those days, every district was ruled by a different Maharaj. or a different landowner, a king. Some were Hindu, some were Muslim. They were often at war with each other. And between every region of control, there was toll gates where you had to pay taxes to go forward. Shivananda saying he would take all the troubles upon himself. He would pay all the money and he would make all the accounts for every single devotee. He would send all of them ahead so they wouldn't have to deal with this, and he would take care of all the problems for everyone. And then when they would get to the place, he would personally arrange facilities for prasad and for where each devotee would sleep at night, where they would bathe, everything. So one time there was some agitation at one of the tax posts, and he was delayed. Very difficult. But he sent all the devotees ahead, and they were waiting. Nityananda Prabhu, he said very loudly, "I am so hungry that I could die. Where is Shivananda Sen? Because he is causing this inconvenience to me, I curse his sons to die." Shivananda Sen's good wife heard that directly from the mouth of Nityananda Prabhu. Her heart was broken. She said nothing, but she cried piteously. Then Shivananda Sen came, after going through all the troubles, to take all the problems, to serve the Vaishnavas. And his wife approached him and said, "My dear husband, Nityananda Prabhu, he was so disturbed that you were late, that he cursed our sons to die." Shivananda Sen, with such a grateful, loving heart, he said, "Dear wife, for the inconvenience I have caused him, our sons deserve to die. That is his mercy. Don't cry. Have faith in the mercy of Lord Nityananda." Then he approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu and bowed down to him. When he got up, Nityananda Prabhu, with his lotus foot, very abruptly kicked him. Hare Krishna. Shivananda Sen bowed down, arranged a place for Nityananda Prabhu to live, brought him nice prasad. After taking care of all of his accommodations, he bowed down at Nityananda Prabhu's feet and thanked him for his mercy. He said, "Today, my life, my family, my human birth, everything has become perfect because you have accepted me as your servant by kicking me with your lotus foot. How fortunate I am that the lotus feet that Brahma, Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami, and all the great rishis and the devatas are striving to achieve but practically can never achieve, those feet have causelessly kicked me today. I have attained the dust of your lotus feet. That is my perfection. That is your mercy." Nityananda Prabhu was so pleased that he affectionately embraced Shivananda Sen. His sons did not die. Rather, they became, all three of them, celebrated Vaishnavas who are known, worshipped, and loved even today, 500 years later. Jivananda Sen was loved so much by Lord Chaitanya. One time he came to Puri and he informed Lord Chaitanya that his wife was pregnant. Lord Chaitanya said, "You should name your son Paramananda Puri after his guru's godbrother." Very interesting. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to hear about Shivananda Sen's wife being pregnant. Why is it extraordinary? Because generally sannyasis are not concerned with the product of people's sex life. Sannyasis are detached. In fact, they consider sex life abominable, especially in those days. Lord Chaitanya would not even agree to give an interview with King Prataparudra because kings have to associate with all kinds of worldly people. He was so strict, he banished Chota Haridas for just having an inappropriate meeting with a woman. But when Shivananda Sen told Lord Chaitanya that his wife was pregnant, Lord Chaitanya was blissful. He congratulated him. And happily, from his heart, said, "Name this child Paramananda Puri." Shivananda Sen came to Puri. He came back and found that the child was born. He was away for over 4 months when he returned to Bengal. You remember those who went to the Mayapur Yatra? We went to his home. They brought before the little baby, Puridas. Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus toe in the baby's mouth. The baby sucked on his toe. Hare Krishna. Later on, he became the great Kavi Kanapur. So on one particular year, after the devotees of Bengal spent their 4 months in the association of the Orient devotees and Lord Chaitanya, they were going back to their homes to perform their prescribed duties in pure Krishna consciousness. The denizens of Srikhanda approached Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gave 3 particular instructions to 3 of those devotees. First, he said to Mukunda, Mukunda was a grihastha. He had a son named Raghunandan, a very faithful Krishna conscious wife, and he was a doctor. In fact, he was a physician for even the king. But he was such a great devotee. Lord Chaitanya ordered Mukunda, because they asked, "What is our duties to be performed?" He said that you should earn material and spiritual wealth. He didn't tell them, "Give up your occupation." He told him, "You should earn material and spiritual wealth." perform your prescribed duty, but always keep Krishna in the center in your life. Everything you do should be done in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Everything, even occupationally, should be done in the consciousness that it is in the service of Krishna. Then he spoke to his son, Raghunandan, who was the pujari for the deity of home. Mukunda had a Radha Gopinath deity. And from tiny little childhood, Mukunda trained his son to worship the deity. Trained him in kirtan. Trained him in all the various details of devotional service. You know the story. How one time Mukunda was called by the king. For some special medical reasons. So every day Mukunda would offer the Rajbhog offering. But on this day he had to go. So he told Raghunandan, this is the process. Your mother will make the plate, you bring it in, and you ask the Lord to accept it. Raghunandan took the offering, brought it before the Lord. He didn't know the mantras, tantras, yantras. But he just very humbly asked the Lord, please accept this food, it is my father's desire. He chanted the holy names. And the Lord glanced upon the food and accepted the devotion and made it prasad. However, little Raghunandan, he did not understand. So he begged again and again, Lord, please accept. He began to cry that it is my father's desire that I offer and you have not accepted. I'm so fallen. At that time, the deity spoke. He said, Raghunandan, I accept it. It's prasad. But it's all still here, every morsel. He said, no, I have accepted spiritually by my glance. But Raghunandan did not understand this. So just to satisfy him, Gopinath came down off his throne, right to the plate, and in front of Raghunandan, lowered his hand, picked up prasad and ate it by putting it in his mouth. Until nothing was left on the plate. His mother was waiting right outside the deity room. He came out with an empty plate. What happened? Did my son eat the food? He wouldn't do that. She was very much confused. So, soon after, Mukunda came back home and said, please give me the Didi's prasad, I'm hungry. Mother said, there's no prasad. Where is it? Ask your son. Raghunandan, where is the prasad? You went on with full plate, you came out empty plate. You're not supposed to eat the prasad on the Didi's altar. What happened? He said, no, my father. Krishna ate it. He told the whole story. So Mukunda gave him another offering and said, you offer it the same way. And he was hiding, watching. The same thing happened. Raghunandan cried and begged the Lord to eat. The Lord came down off his altar and ate it. So Lord Chaitanya told Raghunandan, who was then a young man, chief dancer of one of the seven parties of Sankirtan in Puri every year, and he ordered Raghunandan that you should serve the deity with great faith and devotion. Then he turned to Narahari. Narahari was the elder, was the brother of Mukunda, the uncle of Raghunandan. He was an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya and a dynamic, powerful preacher. Lord Chaitanya ordered him to just stay in the association of devotees and preach the glories of the holy name. We find, Prabhupada explains very nicely, that we find three types of devotees that Lord Chaitanya blessed. Brahmacharis, sannyasis, who are preachers like Narahari, who just live in the association of devotees and spread the glories of the holy name. And those who are in the temple, serving the deities very faithfully, serving the Vaishnavas, like Raghunandan. And those who are congregation, those who live at home, who have their families, who have occupations. Mukunda Sarakar's occupation was he was a physician, and one of the persons he was allocated to serve was the Islamic king. So that wasn't exactly association with devotees. Sometimes our devotees think that because I don't have a job amongst devotees, how will I remain Krishna conscious? But you're not working for Islamic kings. But he remained Krishna conscious perfectly, because whatever profits he made was for Krishna. In fact, he was so pure and so sincere that one time the king was sitting on a very high platform. He called Mukunda to give him medical advice. Mukunda came up to the high platform. The sun was burning hot. So one of the servants of the king brought a peacock fan to shade the king's head with. And when Mukunda saw a peacock feather on the fan, he remembered Krishna. And because he was so purely chanting the holy name and serving Vaishnavas, he went into ecstasy. Thinking of Krishna, he could no longer maintain his consciousness. He ecstatically fell unconscious, fell off the platform, way, way, way down onto the ground. His body just flapped onto the hard ground. And the king, who loved him so dearly, came running off his throne, down the stairs, onto the ground, and cried out, "Mukunda, Mukunda, are you all right?" Mukunda came to consciousness and said, "Yes, yes, I'm all right. What happened? What happened?" Devotees are humble. They don't want to portray themselves as great or advanced or ecstatic. If one of us were to have such an invaluable, precious blessing of Krishna to go into ecstasy and fall unconscious, and someone asked what happened, we would probably tell the truth. But Mukunda, he replied, I have a disease, something like epilepsy. And sometimes, due to my previous sins, this happens to me. And the Muslim king, who most likely did not have much affection for Hindus, his heart melted so deeply due to the humility and the devotion of Mukunda that he understood exactly what happened. That he saw the peacock feather, he remembered his beloved Krishna, he went into spiritual trance and fell unconscious. In his heart, he was bowing down to Mukunda. Tears in his eyes, he told Mukunda, "You please take the day off today." So he was a grihastha. But even in his occupational duties, not even preaching, just by his qualities of bhakti, he transformed the heart of anyone he came in touch with. So Prabhupada explains these are three types of devotees who are given full encouragement and blessings by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we will never hear of any type of competition between Narahari and Mukunda or Raghunandan of who is doing better service. They lived in Srikanda together and in perfect harmony and unity. They respected each other from the core of their hearts and performed their own prescribed duties with sincere chastity to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya. This is Vaishnav culture. Tonight, Sahadev Prabhu and his good wife, Sachidananda Prabhu and his good wife, Anasuya Mataji, they invited us here to serve the brahmacharis, to serve the sannyasis, to serve Prabhupada's disciples, to serve their god brothers, to serve the disciples of the god brothers of their guru. With such enthusiasm, such humility, and all these different parties have come together with such happy hearts to celebrate the environment of love and trust that Prabhupada has given us. And this is Vaishnav culture. Vaishnavas do not judge each other. If a person does some outstanding service, he feels it is only the blessings of the Vaishnavas. I'm nothing. I've done nothing. Look at what Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada spread the glories of the holy name around the entire world. He began his mission with 40 rupees, a box of books. That was all. He had nothing else and no one to help him. And some years later, 108 temples, about 5,000 initiated disciples, tens and thousands following him, hundreds and millions of books distributed, over 40 volumes of books translated,
with commentaries by him. And yet he considered he was an insignificant beggar. What was done was by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. So who are any of us to be proud of some achievement? When a devotee does something nice, considers it, I'm insignificant, it is by the blessings of the Vaishnavas that I can do anything. And if a person has this spirit, people love that person, respect that person, deeply appreciate and are inspired by that person. But if a devotee boasts, see what I have done, what have you done? Then people may be externally impressed by the result, but in their heart, it doesn't draw love, it doesn't draw affection, it doesn't even draw respect. So every time we try to boast of our accomplishments, we should know that we're minimizing the amount that the other devotees could actually appreciate us. If we just silently go on with our service and let our achievements speak for themselves and give all credit to other Vaishnavas, then people actually respect what you've done. Because really, devotees don't respect so much what you do, but the consciousness in which you do it. And all other devotees, when they see someone do something nice, they don't become envious, but rather should think something wonderful is being done for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Because the mentality of a devotee is to please Guru and Krishna. Whether I please them, or whether somebody else pleases them, the real important thing is that my master is pleased. If we fight over who could please the most, the master is displeased. So therefore, devotees take great pleasure in seeing anyone pleasing Guru and Krishna. And they try earnestly, to their capacity, to please Guru and Krishna by their own actions, by their own words and their own thoughts. To me, this sacred night represents this principle. Thank you very much, Sahadev Prabhu, Satchidananda Prabhu, and your good families. And thank all of the devotees for making this mission a very wonderful, wonderful, pleasing mission to participate in. So many special guests came to bless us. Trayadas Prabhu, senior devotee of Srila Prabhupada, Vijay Prabhu, when this last summer when I was at New Vrindavan, His Holiness Srila Hridayananda Maharaj came to New Vrindavan to visit. You know, by Prabhupada's inspiration, he, Gopi Puranadana, they translated, he was the main translator, purports to the 11th, to the latter part of the 10th canto, 11th canto, and 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hridayananda Maharaj is one of the most dynamic, brilliant preachers in all the world. He will come here soon. Prabhupada said about Hridayananda Maharaj that he had a transcendental brain. And when you meet him, you will understand why Prabhupada said this. For simple devotees like me, it's just enthralling to see someone who has such intelligence. He can just take any word and divide it into millions of pieces. Incredible logic. He's also a Sanskrit scholar. And his sense of humor is simply amazing. He can give a class where from Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya till Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, 1.5 hours, and you will be laughing continuously. Yes? No one has sense of humor so brilliant that I've ever seen in my life. I can tell you, even the most outstanding, popular comedians of the material world cannot stand before him. But the difference is all of his humor simply awakens bhakti in your heart. When he came to New Vrindavan, one of his very dearmost beloved disciples was his personal servant, Vijay Prabhu. Please stand up. Let us welcome him. Disciples of Giriraj, His Holiness Giriraj, Swami Maharaj here tonight, who is dearmost sannyasi of Radha Gopinath's congregation. Such a loving God brother. What Jamuna Devi was saying about Giriraj Maharaj, do you remember? That he's just affection personified. He would melt everyone's hearts. He made Srinathji a devotee. Yes? Srinathji loves to tell the story. In summary, Srinathji was a follower of Swami Chinmayanandaji, and he has somewhat of a different Siddhanta than Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So Srinathji did not want to see Hare Krishna devotees because he thought they were just coming for his money. But Giriraj Swami would regularly come to his office, and Srinathji would just tell his secretary, don't let the Hare Krishnas in. So he would just sit and wait all day long with a little container of Mahaprasad from Radharas Bihari. And Srinathji would come out of the office and he'd see him just sitting so humble, just waiting. His office. He said, how long have you been waiting? Oh, not long. Secretary would say, 6 hours. Then he'd offer him Mahaprasad. 6 hours, have you had any prasad? Giriraj Swami would say, no. So Srinathji was obliged, well, come home with me and take prasad. In this process, he melted his heart, made him one of the most wonderful Vaishnavas in all the world. So we have the auspicious appearance tonight of so many wonderful devotees who are connected with such great souls. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let us always remain united, hearing about Krishna, serving with affection and devotion, and especially chanting the holy names.